Romans chapter 7. Sermons by Paul C. Jong. Sermon 2. What is being born again? Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Or do you not know? Brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. So that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. Everyone. Today we are going to think together about what being born again is through the words of Romans chapter 7. Verses 1 to 6. Today, many people speak about being born again. However, there are many people who do not accurately know the being born again that the Bible speaks of. Some people think they are born again if they diligently attend church. Some people think they are born again if they pray fervently and cry out with a loud voice. Some people think that is being born again if they speak in tongues or have some emotional experience. And some people think they are born again if they learn Christian doctrine well and call Jesus Lord. However, the Bible does not say so. A person is born again by the living Word of God. Being born again does not happen by human emotions. It does not happen by religious zeal either. It does not happen by doctrinal knowledge either. Being born again is accomplished by believing in the salvation of Jesus Christ, revealed in the Word of God. That is, the baptism, the cross, and the resurrection of Jesus. Romans chapter 7 tells us what we were bound to, how we escaped from that binding, and to whom we must now belong and live. If we know this word correctly, we can clearly know what being born again is. The law has dominion over a person only as long as he lives. The Apostle Paul first says this, "Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? The law has dominion over a person as long as the person is alive." The law spoken of here is the law of God. It is the command God gave to man. The law teaches man what sin is. It informs what is right and what is wrong. Therefore, the law is the law of God that makes one realize sin. To a person who believes in God, the law reveals that sin. Even to a person who does not know God, there is the law of conscience, making them judge right and wrong. Therefore, as long as a person has sin, they are under the dominion of the law. A person who has sin in their heart has no true freedom, no matter how much they speak of freedom. It is because the law condemns that person's heart. The law is not evil. The law is holy, righteous, and good. However, to a person who has sin, the law becomes a terrifying standard of judgment. The law says, "You are a sinner. You have broken God's law. You must receive judgment." Therefore, a person who has sin suffers pain before the law. Many people, even while saying they believe in Jesus, cannot escape from this condemnation of the law. It is because the sin remains exactly as it is in their heart. It is because the sin has not died. If sin remains in the heart, even if they sit in the chapel, the law has dominion over them. Even if they pray, there is condemnation. Even if they sing hymns, there is a sense of guilt. And even if they serve diligently, fear remains in their heart. Therefore, to know being born again, we must first know what we were bound to. We were bound to the law, and to speak more accurately, we were bound under the condemnation of the law because of sin. The husband refers to sin, and the woman refers to us. The Apostle Paul explains by giving the parable of a woman who has a husband. A woman who has a husband is bound to the law of her husband as long as the husband is alive. However, if the husband dies, she becomes free from that law. Even if she goes to another man, she does not become an adulteress. In this parable, the woman refers to us humans. The husband refers to sin. From the time a person is born, they are born having a husband called sin. They are born having sin from their mother's womb, and as they live, they receive the dominion of that sin. Therefore, a person commits sin even if they do not want to commit sin. And they are dragged by the lust of sin even if they want to live good. As long as this husband called sin is alive, a person cannot escape from the law. If there is sin, the law inevitably condemns that sin. Therefore, no matter how much a person lives a religious life, if there is sin in their heart, they are still under the law. Then what must be done? The husband must die. Sin must die. Sin must die, so that one can escape from the condemnation of the law. But can a person kill their own sin by their own strength? No, they cannot. No matter how much a person prays, fasts, does good deeds, and learns doctrine, they cannot kill the sin of the heart. They cannot eliminate their own sin by themselves. Therefore, God sent Jesus Christ to kill the husband called our sin, and to liberate us from the condemnation of the law. Jesus came to this earth. Sin died through the body of Christ. Romans chapter 7, verse 4 says, "You also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ." Here is the core of being born again. How were we put to death to the law? We did not die by our own body. We did not kill sin by our own effort either. We were put to death through the body of Christ. The body of Jesus Christ came to this earth. The Son of God, who has no sin, came wearing the body of a man. And he received baptism from John the Baptist. At that time, all our sins were transferred to the body of Jesus. Just as a sinner in the Old Testament passed over their sin by laying hands on the head of the sacrificial offering. In the New Testament, John the Baptist, the representative of mankind, passed all the sins of the world over to Jesus by baptizing him. Jesus receiving baptism is not a simple ceremony. It is the event of taking charge of our sins. By receiving baptism, Jesus became the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And bearing that sin, he hung on the cross. By shedding blood and dying on the cross, he fully received the judgment for our sins. Therefore, our sin died through the body of Jesus. That sin which the law condemned, ended by the baptism and the cross of Jesus. The husband called sin, died through the body of Jesus Christ. Believing this is the faith of being born again. The laying on of hands in the Old Testament and baptism in the New Testament speak of the transfer of sin. In the Old Testament, if a person committed a sin, they offered an unblemished offering to God. The sinner laid hands on the head of the offering. Laying on of hands means that the sin passes over. The sin of the sinner was transferred to the offering. And that offering was put to death in place of the sinner. Blood was shed, and it was burned upon the altar of burnt offering. This was the judgment for sin. This sacrifice of the Old Testament foreshadowed Jesus Christ. Jesus came as the unblemished Lamb of God. And he received baptism from John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the greatest among those born of women. And he was the one who represented mankind. When he baptized Jesus, all the sins of mankind passed over to Jesus. Therefore, John the Baptist saw Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That Jesus took away the sin of the world means that he took charge of the sin of the world through baptism. And by dying on the cross, he received the judgment of that sin. Therefore, the baptism and the cross of Jesus must not be separated. Baptism is the event where sin passed over to Jesus. And the cross is the event where that sin was judged. If there is no baptism, we cannot know why Jesus died like a sinner on the cross. If there is no cross, we cannot know how the sin he took charge of through baptism was judged. The gospel of the water and the Spirit is the gospel that believes together in the baptism, the cross, and the resurrection of Jesus. Sin must die so we can go to the resurrected Christ. The Apostle Paul said that if the husband dies, even if she goes to another man, she does not become an adulteress. To say that one goes to Jesus in a state where sin is alive is not a correct faith. To say that one believes in Jesus while sin remains exactly as it is in the heart does not fit legally either. First, sin must die. The problem of sin must be solved. We must believe the fact that Jesus took charge of my sin through baptism and received the judgment of my sin on the cross. At that time, the husband called sin dies. And then we can go to Christ, who was raised from the dead. Now our true husband is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who solved our problem of sin. He is the one who liberated us from the condemnation of the law. He is the one who gave us new life. We are now not those who belong to sin, but those who belong to Christ. This is being born again. It is the person who was bound to sin being liberated from sin through the body of Jesus Christ, and obtaining new life by belonging to the resurrected Christ. Being born again is not by doctrine, but by the living word. A person is not born again by doctrine, even if one knows a lot of doctrine. If there is sin in the heart, they are not a born-again person. Even if one says doctrinally, "I believe in Jesus," if they do not know how their own sin was solved by the baptism and the cross of Jesus, sin remains exactly as it is in their heart. Being born again happens by the living Word of God. The Word of God informs us how Jesus took charge of our sins. It makes us realize through the Word why Jesus received baptism, why He died on the cross, and why He lived again. And when we believe that Word with our heart, the Holy Spirit comes inside us. Therefore, being born again is not human emotion or excitement. It is not an external religious act either. It is hearing the Word and believing that my sin has completely disappeared by the baptism, the cross, and the resurrection of Jesus. A person's heart is sensitive. If one does not know how their own sin was solved, no matter how much they say, "I have no sin," their conscience cannot be at peace. However, if one believes the Word that my sin passed over by the baptism of Jesus and that sin was judged on the cross, the conscience is liberated from sin. The heart becomes free. The Holy Spirit comes upon them. This is being born again. He who is freed from the law serves in the newness of the Spirit. Verse 6 of the main text says this: "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter." We died to what we were bound to. What were we bound to? We were bound to sin. We were bound to the condemnation of the law. However, through the body of Jesus Christ, we died from that binding. Therefore, now we have escaped from the law. Escaping from the law does not mean ignoring the Word of God. It also does not mean that we can commit sin as we please. It means we have escaped from the condemnation and curse of the law. We now do not serve God in the oldness of the letter. We do not serve with fear, bound to literal legal provisions. Now we serve in the newness of the Spirit. We serve by the Holy Spirit. We serve with the faith that believes in the perfect salvation of Jesus. We do not serve to receive the removal of sin, but we serve with gratitude because we have already received the removal of sin. We do not live because we fear the judgment of the law, but we live inside the love and grace of God. The Holy Spirit is in the born-again person. The Holy Spirit works together with the Word. When we hear the Word, the Holy Spirit raises up faith inside our hearts. He gives the strength to do righteousness. He makes us distance ourselves from sin. He makes us serve the gospel. A born-again person bears fruit for God. The Apostle Paul speaks of the purpose of our going to the resurrected Christ, that we may bear fruit for God. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. The reason God liberated us from sin is not simply to make us live with a comfortable mind. It is to make us bear fruit for God. This fruit is the fruit of righteousness. It is the fruit of the gospel. It is the fruit of liberating other souls from sin. A born-again person cannot live only for themselves. The person who has escaped from the husband called sin and belongs to Christ must live for the work of Christ. The person who has gone to the resurrected Christ must preach the gospel together with the church, which is the body of Christ. We must preach the gospel of the water and the spirit to the souls suffering under the law, the people agonizing because of the sin in their hearts, and the people who say they believe in Jesus, yet do not know, being born again. Many people are still bound to the law. Even while saying they believe in Jesus, they are bound to sin, bound to condemnation, and bound to the repetition of prayers of repentance. We must preach the fact that the husband called sin of such people has already died through the body of Jesus Christ. We must testify the gospel so that they may hear the living word of God and be born again. We must serve the gospel broadly. A person who knows the gospel of the water and the spirit must not live narrowly and intolerantly. We are those who have the gospel given by God. We are those who know the way to be liberated from sin. We are those who know by the word what being born again is. Therefore, we must preach this gospel boldly, whether people recognize it or not, whether they come or not. We must keep the door of the gospel open. We must preach the word. We must testify to the baptism, the cross, and the resurrection of Jesus. We must pity the people who are bound under the law. We must help them receive liberation from sin and go to the resurrected Christ. The gospel is preached in unity. It is preached together with the church. It is preached following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We are not people who manifest ourselves. We are people who testify that our sin died through the body of Jesus Christ, and that we have come to belong to the resurrected Christ. This gospel is necessary for all people in the world. Being born again is a truth that all people must necessarily know. To the people who say they believe in Jesus yet have not been born again, to the people crying under the condemnation of the law, to the people who have not solved the problem of sin in their hearts, we must preach this gospel. Being born again is sin dying through the body of Christ and obtaining new life. Beloved everyone, what is being born again? Being born again is not a religious emotion. It is not studying doctrine either. It is not a zealous life of faith either. Being born again is by believing the living word of God, sin dying through the body of Jesus Christ, and obtaining new life by belonging to the resurrected Christ. We were originally bound to the husband called sin. Therefore, the law had dominion over us. However, by receiving baptism from John the Baptist, Jesus took charge of all our sins. He received the judgment of that sin on the cross. He lived again from among the dead. When we believe in this Jesus, our sin dies, and we escape from the law, and become those who belong to the resurrected Christ. Now we do not serve in the oldness of the letter. We serve in the newness of the Spirit. We do not serve with fear, but we serve with gratitude. We do not serve to avoid condemnation, but we serve because of the grace of having our sins already removed. Everyone, we must live like born-again ones. We must live like those who belong to the resurrected Christ. We must bear fruit for God. We must preach the gospel of the water and the Spirit. We must pity the souls bound under the law and testify that their problem of sin has been completely solved through the body of Jesus Christ. God has caused us to be born again by this gospel. Now, I hope that all of us become saints who serve God in the newness of the Spirit and abundantly bear the fruit of righteousness and the fruit of the gospel for God. Amen.